The reading this evening is taken from John's Gospel, chapter 17, starting at verse 1. This will be found on page 1024 of the Pew Bible. John, chapter 17, page 1024. Jesus prays to be glorified. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." Jesus prays for his disciples. "I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified." Jesus prays for all believers. "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know you. And they know that you have sent me, So I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, my thanks to Bernard as well for leading us. I hope you feel blessed as I have done as well. And also my thanks to Gay. I did ask Gay to read the whole of the chapter, and because it's a prayer and it's the Lord's Prayer. So thank you, Gay. The Lord's Prayer. We often, of course, think of the Lord's Prayer as the prayer that he taught his disciples to pray. And maybe we really should call that the disciples' prayer, because in John 17 we have this amazing privilege to have a glimpse of the Father and the Son. As Jesus pours out his deepest longings to his Father, as Bernard reminded us, you know, this, we've been looking at what happened during Holy Week, and within a few hours, a short period there, Jesus later on will be praying to his Father, asking him that this cup that was going to be given to him, was there any other way? And in the end, Jesus bows down to his Father's will and goes to the cross. But before that, he opens up his heart to his Father. He's been talking to his disciples. He's been telling them. He's been helping them and guiding them. He's been trying to guide them gently and show them what's going to happen to him. But here he then lifts his face up and he prays to his Father. He says, after Jesus had been talking to his disciples, the beginning of chapter 17, he looked towards heaven and prayed. And what does he pray for? He asks the Father to glorify him. Do you find that strange? Here is the Son of God who has placed himself completely under the control of his Father, who has come into this world to serve. We've just been singing, haven't we? He's come to serve his Father, to obey his Father, and he has come to serve us as well. We've seen recently one of that amazing example when Jesus serves by washing his disciples' filthy feet. We see him again and again serving and never putting himself first. Always what God wants. And yet here, just before he goes to the cross, he asks, Father, glorify me. So what's going on here? What is this that Jesus has in his heart? I'd like to suggest that this passage is not just about his personal glorification. This is about Jesus wanting to see the Trinity truly glorified. If you'd like to turn to the passage again, because we're going to be looking at this through the next few minutes. You see, again, this is reciprocal. Just as the Son glorifies the Father, so the Father glorifies the Son. Jesus reminds him in verse 4, I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do, by being completely obedient to your will. He reminds his Father that his Father gave authority to his Son. In verse 5, he talks about even before creation, And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Before the world, before any of this universe had been brought into being, there was the Trinity, and there was the glory among them, shared among them, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Jesus, the Son, sets aside that glory as he came to this earth. Despite Christmas cards and their glamorous looking, there is absolutely nothing glorious about his birth, being born into a filthy, dirty stable. He sets aside that glory. But Jesus wants to see the Godhead glorified. I wonder what comes into your mind when you think about something that's glorious. Perhaps a sunset, looking over the sea as the sun sets down, that glorious image there. Perhaps just beautiful scenery as you travel around. Perhaps a glorious song or hymn or music. We read in the scriptures in the Old Testament how God's glory came down at times. It came down upon the tabernacle. It came down upon the temple. It came down upon the mountain when he gave his commandments. And the glory was so great that nobody could go anywhere near that mountain except for Moses. Jesus asks that God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, will indeed be glorified. Toward the end of his prayer, he asks his Father that his disciples will see his glory. And amazingly, that somehow we're going to share in that glory. Verse 22, I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. So this is not just about glory that he wants to keep to himself. He wants to see God glorified. He wants to see the Spirit glorified. And he wants you and me, amazing, you and me to share in that glory one day. I don't look very glorious. You look marvellous. Not sure about glorious. But one day, if you love the Lord, you're going to share in that glory. What an incredible thought. There have been times in Jesus' ministry when it's as if God the Father could not help himself but break into the world and just remind people that he was so pleased with his Son and that he wanted his Son to be glorified. Back when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, and God just opened up heaven. Some people thought maybe it was just thunder, but God shouts out his love for his Son. At the Mountain of Transfiguration, when for one glimpse, one short period of time, Jesus' glory could be seen, and the disciples shared in that. And just before this, in John chapter 12, there were some Greeks that came to see Jesus. And Jesus was talking to the crowd, and he says, now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Again, he's asking for God's name to be glorified. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. Again, the crowd thought it was just thunder, but this is God the Father breaking in to time, showing his great pleasure with his Son. When we thought about the church, the vision for the church, one of the things that we noted down was that we wanted everything that happened in this building and everything that we were involved with to ensure that God's name was glorified, that everything should be done to God's the renown of his name. And so Jesus asks that his Father will glorify him. And in that his Father will be glorified and the Holy Spirit will be glorified as well. Jesus then goes on and prays for and about his disciples. And again, he makes a personal request. And we see it again and again through this passage. And because Jesus reminds God that he has given the disciples to him. In verse 2, he says, "You granted Jesus authority over all people that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him." In verse 6, "I have revealed you to those whom you gave me." In verse 9, he says, "I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me." And in verse 24, "Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am." You and me, the disciples that Jesus had been spending his time with over the previous 3 years, we have been given to the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to be one with him and one with all the disciples that have come in the past. He says, "I in them, you in me," and there's this complete unity. I think it's really a picture, isn't it? Like the picture of the bride. Anne and I met each other at university, and during the second and third year, we got to know each other, and became closer and closer. And we wanted to be married. And so one day, Anne invited me to her home, and I went and had a chat with her dad. And I asked her dad if I could marry Anne. I don't know, I don't suppose that happens nowadays. It sounds very old-fashioned, but that's what I did. And to my delight, her dad said yes. And then when we got married, and Anne walks down the aisle, and we, just before the words are said, and her dad gave her to me. That same picture, when we talk about God has given us to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible talks about that picture of a bride, doesn't it? In Romans chapter 21, it's a picture of the Jerusalem coming down, just like a bride adorned for her husband. And it talks there that our names are written in the book of life. And so Jesus wants you and me to be with him. I think that's amazing. I just think it's incredible that the Son of God wants me. He's given his life for me. He's perfect sacrifice. And he wants me to be with him forever. And then not only does he remind God that we have been given to him, and he asks God to make sure that we are indeed, he also wants us to be safe. In verse 11, we read, "I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one." He doesn't want us to be taken out of the world. "My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it." He doesn't want us to be protected from persecution or from suffering or from illness. We may suffer, we may even lose our lives, and we've prayed, I know we've prayed recently for Christians who are living in such dangerous countries and who have given their lives. But he does ask that we are kept safe from the evil one, that no matter what happens, Satan cannot take us away, cannot take us out of God's hand. So no matter what happens in your life and mine, no matter what struggles we may have, no matter how we may feel like failures, as David was reminding us this morning, no matter all of that, Satan cannot. He has not got the power or the authority to take us out of God's hand. And that's what Jesus is asking God to protect us, to keep us safe from the power of Satan. And so in this prayer, we find Jesus, the sacrifice, the Lamb of God, the one who is going to give his life for the world. He's also the shepherd who wants to keep his sheep safe and protected. And he's also the great high priest who prays for us and who intercedes for us. So how do you feel when somebody comes to you and says, I've been praying for you, or I will pray for you? How does that make you feel? It makes me feel strengthened. It makes me feel loved. It makes me feel supported. And it's really marvellous to know that somebody is taking the time and cares enough to pray for me and for you. There have been times when we have gone through some difficult times and things have fallen apart. And sometimes it just needs a few people just to come alongside. They don't have to say lots of clever things. They don't have to have all the answers. But they just say to me, I'll pray for you. I've been praying for you. And those are the words, the only words that I need to hear. But how do you feel to think that not only are fellow Christians praying for you, that Jesus himself is praying for you? We looked at it briefly when we looked at the passage when Jesus warns Peter that he's going to deny him. And again, David reminded us this morning, that passage in Luke, you know, when Jesus says, Peter, Peter, Satan wants to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you. I think that that came back to Peter. I think that was part of his restitution, to know that Jesus prayed for him. The New Testament letters are just full of reminders. Paul prays so often for those that he's writing to. In Romans, he says, I constantly pray for you. In Ephesians, I haven't stopped remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking God to give you wisdom. I kneel before the Father, praying that he will give you strength. In Philippians, he says, I thank God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for you. To the church in Colossae, he says, we always thank God for you when we pray for you. In Thessalonians, he writes, we continually mention you in our prayers. And then James talks about us confessing our sins to one another and praying for each other. And John, in one of his letters, writes, I pray that you may enjoy good health. So we have an example here, don't we? We have example of Jesus praying for us. We have the example throughout the New Testament of the apostles praying for the churches and praying for his people. So where does that leave us as a church? Whenever we meet on a Sunday, we pray. We pray for one another. Bernard led us in prayer this evening. When we're at communion, we always take the opportunity to pray, particularly for those who are sick and who are running through some big issues in their lives. We have the prayer ministry at each service. Karen and Theo Rolf are here this evening, and they would love the opportunity to pray with you this evening. The home groups are just a great opportunity to pray for one another. When I think of our home group, every member of that home group has gone through some big, serious issues over the last few years, and we have always prayed for each other. Again, it's certainly a recommendation, if you're not involved with a home group, take that opportunity. It is a great place to really pray for each other. And then we pray for our mission partners, who've so many of them have been going through so many issues. The last 2 or 3 weeks, we've been praying for Alistair, for Juliet, for Hannah and for Alan. And it's been really good just to come together and pray. So there are so many opportunities to pray for one another. Get involved. Get involved with some group and take that as an opportunity to pray for one another. The Lord's Prayer. As he prays for you, as he prays to his Heavenly Father, he says, Father, I want Graham to be with me. I want Bernard to be with me. Sorry, I won't go through all the names. But he wants you to be with him. That is his deep prayer to the Father. He prays to the Father, Father, keep them safe. Not from hurt, not from harm, not from suffering, but keep them safe from the power of Satan. Keep them in your hands. He prays for us. And he still intercedes for us. He is there in heaven right now, at God's right hand, and he intercedes. He continually reminds God about you and me. As if God would ever forget. But Jesus makes sure.